In the name of Jesus. Jeremiah experienced every preacher's nightmare, indeed, every Christian's nightmare. Seems to me he did everything right. He sacrificed himself, personal needs, personal hopes for service to the Lord. Deeply personal sacrifices. He made those sacrifices to preach the word God sent him to preach it faithfully. As harsh and hard as that word was to deliver, a word to the wayward people of Judah about God's sure to come judgment upon their rebellion, a word of drought, famine, finally destruction. Nonetheless, hard as it was, that word Jeremiah proclaimed as over and over and over, he called God's people to repentance. They laughed at him. They thumbed their collective noses at him. Frankly, they preferred to be schmoozed by the promoters of positive thinking, the hucksters who spoke in the more soothing, politically correct tones. Jeremiah was, after all, being such a spoiled sport, preaching without let-up, ad nauseum it would seem, preaching repentance. And then for this hard-working, self-sacrificing, faithful prophet of old comes the question. Maybe it came late one night. Maybe he woke up from a sound sleep. Maybe at the end of a long week, when in every way he was physically, emotionally, just spiritually exhausted, he had had it. You know what I mean? And then the question came creeping in. What's the use? What a nightmare. That kind of faithfulness, that kind of commitment, that kind of personal hard sacrifice. Well, what's the use? Where was God? Why didn't he seem to be coming through? Where was some visible vindication that could at least spell some degree of success for Jeremiah's hard sacrificing work? Or, and this is the nightmare's greatest horror, was God finally a deceptive brook? Here one minute, but dried up and totally unavailable when you need him most. Was God not to be counted on when life or ministry seems to have lost its footing? Are you, Lord, a dried-up spring? If Jeremiah, if the preacher, if we Christians called to offer our very bodies as living sacrifices unto the Lord could just have some visible vindication, some timely indication that it's working, at least the way we think it ought to. This was Jeremiah's groaning before the Lord here in our text. And God's response to Jeremiah and to us shows that indeed, as Jeremiah had stated early on, God really did, oh, he really did understand him. God's response: repent. Turn away from yourself. Have no other gods before me. Repent. A hard word. A compassionate word. This word from God turns us away from the abyss of self-fascination and self-worship and focuses us once again upon the one and the only one who in all things is utterly faithful and whose personal self-sacrifice puts our sacrificing to shame. In effect, God says, it is not about you, Jeremiah, it's about me. It is not your timetable, your game plan, it's mine. This word from God stands firm, and his servants do too. In and through his word, God fortifies, he strengthens. He is indeed, as Jeremiah had earlier proclaimed in his prophecy, the fountain of living waters. He is, if you will, a baptismal stream that blooms life, that never ever dries up, flowing from an empty rock-hewn tomb. I am with you, says God to Jeremiah. I am with you. And that is enough. That is everything. God has spoken, and it is so. I am with you. God himself with us. And he is with us for the express purpose, as he told his servant of old here in this text, with us to rescue and to save. Literally in the text, to pay the purchase price for our release, release from the cruel grasp of hell and death. I am with you, said the God come to our rescue in flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone, and that one who himself was the payment for our release, Jesus the Christ, stands before us again today and again and again. And he says, I am with you. I am with you always. So he says, and so also he feeds into us. I am with you. It is, you see, his word. His word is his doing. His word that by the Pentecost Spirit brings the risen, redeeming, saving, rescuing Christ. No other signs, no other tricks, no other big power displays, no other authority. His word. Alive in his spirit is all that we have to live our lives in this world and to do our work of preaching and teaching and caring for souls, the one solid, changeless constant. And yes, let us be sure, judgment is soon and certain to come. To a world hurtling toward the end with the muzak of complacency buzzing ever louder in the background, we have got to be about proclaiming repentance and salvation in the Lord Christ alone. This word, from which we have our being and our serving, this word is the utterly worthwhile word amidst the din of so much other useless verbiage. And need we say, but yes, it will never be easy. But my brothers and sisters, we have his word, and he has promised, I am with you to rescue and to save you. That is all we need. It is all we will ever need. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.